So this is what you do the first time we're back together as a family, Vampire Book Club.
Warning, this podcast, Vampire Book Club, will contain spoilers from The Vampire Diaries, The Originals, and Legacies. Hey everyone, welcome to my podcast, A Vampire Book Club. In today's episode, it's going to be a bonus episode. It is a happy Father's Day episode. More like, be happy, these weren't your daddies, IRL. I'm going to be talking about the three best and the three worst dads in the Vampire Diaries universe. Don't forget to check out all my social media in the description. Also, don't forget to check out my Patreon. I'll be giving out 2 guest spots a month for $1 subscription, plus shout outs to all members. Or if you want to start a podcast of your own, there is a link for you to get started down there as well. So I won't be including dads who didn't have kids of their own, because that's what this whole entire good list would be included with if I did. Like Elijah, who has no kids of his own, but was a father to his entire family. Okay, so I'm going to talk about the third best dad, and I think that would be Ansel, Klaus Mikkelsen's biological father, who was having an affair with Klaus's mother while she was married to her other children's father, Michael. Everyone assumed that Klaus was also Michael's, and in my opinion, he actually looks the most like Michael. So once Michael discovered that Klaus was not his child when he turned into a werewolf after making his first kill, after being turned into a vampire, Michael immediately kills Ansel, and this resulting in the War of the Werewolves and the Vampires that continued into present day. But when Esther brings Ansel back and we see him, he is a good dad. He wants to be a part of Klaus's life. He wants to know Klaus. He tells Klaus that he has been watching him for the past 1,000 years. He teaches Jackson how to be a good wolf from the olden days. So it turns out he had been finding this flower for Esther to put abusive Michael to sleep every time that they were having issues. Esther just used it on Elijah. This guy seems awesome. Ansel seems like one of the nicest dads in the TVDU. Unfortunately, he was a little late to the party. Klaus spends the day with him, getting to know him, and he thinks he's a really awesome guy. He helps him get the flower that's going to save Elijah and wake him back up. But because Klaus was actually raised by another man, he was that person's son. He tells Klaus he was born to create and not kill like Michael has taught him. They have really good moments. It's a really cute scene. I really wish that he didn't know about Hope. Then he tells Klaus, I know your daughter is alive. I know the call of my family. When you were a boy, every time I would turn into a wolf on the full moon, I would wake up closer and closer to your village. Ansel tells Klaus that this has been happening again, and he really wants to help defend her honor. And he honestly believes him, which he should, because he seems like a genuine guy who just fell in love with the wrong woman. And Klaus is so paranoid because he was raised by Michael his entire life and thinks everybody's out to get him, that he couldn't take a chance with Hope's life. So that's the end of Daddy Ansel. Okay, so my number two dad is, and you guys may hate me for putting him at number two. I really wanted to put him at number one, but unfortunately, it just didn't feel like the right thing to do. Number two is Daddy Klaus. Klaus is the original hybrid, so he is somehow able to reproduce. It takes him 1,000 years, and he is not aware that he is able to reproduce when he breaks his curse. He has awful parents, and despite having awful parents, he is an amazing dad who cares deeply about his children and family. However, he does have 1,000 years of monsters and treachery and enemies following him behind him that are danger to his children. Klaus is brought to New Orleans because of the witches that live there. He has a one-night stand in the Vampire Diaries. Ends up getting her pregnant. Neither one of them thought that was possible. His wolf side, now that his curse is broken, he is able to reproduce with his wolf side. They are both wolves. He is furious. The witches brought him there with this lie, but then he listens to the heartbeat and he can hear the baby's heartbeat and all this other stuff. And you can tell right from the beginning, he says he doesn't want the baby. He goes, kill the baby and the girl. Elijah doesn't allow that to happen. But you can tell from the beginning, he is actually just scared to be a dad because his dad was awful. And he was just brought here to take down his son, basically, that he raised. So I'm sure both of those things have something to do with his initial reaction to Haley being pregnant. Because shortly after, we see her trying to get Wolfsbane to abort her little baby wolf. And he is very upset about that. And then there's this scene where Rebecca's like, it's okay to care. Because he doesn't like to show that he cares. However, we do see him evolve and care more and more deeply about Hope. Elijah says that he has searched for his redemption for 1,000 years, but it was only 15 years that it took for Hope to do this. You see Klaus protecting Hope in all kinds of different ways. He even leaves her, and I think that he even kills himself, and because he knows that he would do more damage to her alive than he would if he was dead. Because he says, I do not wish to be the father that I had, nor to be the father that Marcel came to loathe. So he doesn't want to be like his dad. He doesn't want to be the dad that Marcel hates. He wants his daughter to love him. And he wants to be there for her, but it ends up causing more harm. And he definitely notices that and does the right thing for her. We see a lot of loving moments where he's showing her the city. And we see a lot of loving moments where he just wants her to be happy. We also see a lot of loving moments with him and Marcel. There's this scene in the first season. I think it's like episode 20 or 21. I think it's 20. Where Klaus allows Marcel to come back to the city because of a death. And he is a lot like Klaus. He has a lot of Klaus's traits. He says, just because across the river doesn't mean I'm out of the game. You can tell he definitely learned to rule and strategize like Klaus does. He admires Klaus. And this is the scene that I believe Klaus realizes. This is where the seed is planted that Klaus can never actually be a great father to his children. Marcel is trying to figure out what Klaus's end game is in this situation and tells him basically whatever he's planning, that's not going to happen. Klaus says, well, that will be your choice, just like it was your choice to summon my father here. You who knows better than anyone the specific agony of a father's hatred. I spent decades trying to make up for what your father did. How did I fail? And then Marcel replies, maybe the scars just ran too deep. And I think that's where this comes from. But he does love, and you can see that in the scene. He wanted so badly to do right by Marcel for the torture that both of their fathers had put them through. But he has gone through 900 years at that point with having a horrible father. It's really hard to undo like 25 years of a horrible father. Never mind 1,000 years, you know? And he tells him, you didn't fail me. You raised me. You taught me everything that I know. And I think that he spends a lot of different periods of time away from Hope. And I think that he knows ultimately this is actually the best option for her because his scars do run too deep. He was writing her letters when the hollow was first put inside of him, and then she did a spell to come and see him, and he was kind of embarrassed of his behavior and didn't want his little innocent girl to see him like that, I think, personally. And he just like stopped talking to her after that because he wants nothing more than to keep her out of harm's way. And he knows that he's harmful. And ultimately, that's a really good dad because it's hard to admit that your kid would be better off without you. He doesn't exactly admit it, but he takes his own life because of it. There were so many other options that he could have done. It didn't have to be Klaus. But he knew this was best for his daughter. So now I'm going to talk about the best dad, in my opinion. And you may not agree with me, I'm sorry, but it has to be Alaric. Alaric has children of his own. And just like Klaus, he has other children before and after, including Klaus's child. Which is why I just didn't feel right putting Klaus first. Plus, the man literally creates a school so his children have a safe place to be who they are and to be comfortable who they are and not have to hide any part of themselves. He is just helping children everywhere, honestly. And technically, by marriage, he is Elena's step bio daddy, but he spends a lot of time with Jeremy and Elena, looking out for them, protecting them, and caring for them as their parents, since they no longer have parents or an aunt who takes care of them. And there are some scenes where Lizzie and Josie are really jealous of the relationship that he has with Hope. And I think it's more along the lines that Hope is not his actual daughter, unfortunately. Sorry. And he does care about Hope, obviously. But I just think that because she's a little, A, more indestructible, and B, not his actual child, he's just trying to protect his daughters. That's the whole reason he has the school in the first place, and trying to keep them away from all the bad monsters. He was trying to keep them good and to keep the school good with, he only let werewolves in if it was not a malicious kill. He only taught defensive magic. It's hard to stop looking at your older children as little babies still. So I do get that. Genuinely, I do think he cared about Hope as well as Elena and Jeremy, despite them being their kids. And I also think he cared about Lizzie and Josie. He just didn't know how to treat them like they were old enough to handle things. Sometimes he makes the wrong choices, and as somebody who is in a position of power, this does happen. He is the headmaster of a school, and he is a parent, and he is trying his best for all these different children. And he doesn't always make the best choices, like sending those kids to the prison world. And I think that he's also afraid of how they came into this world. How they were killed by a man who still exists in a prison world. And he has come back more than once to try and kill them again. So I think he's just ultimately a protective dad, but he's the only one that is always there for his kids and other people's kids. And that has to say something. So let's get started on the worst three dads of the Vampire Diaries universe. Honestly, there is so many. Some are worse than others. I really had a hard time picking number three. It was a tie between Bill Forbes, John Gilbert, and Mr. Lockwood, the mayor, before Carol was. And although this was tough, I'm going to go with Mayor Lockwood. We see that he has a lot of domestic violent behaviors. He is in a position of power, and a lot of times when you see people like this in a position of power, they take advantage of it, and that's what it feels like to me. He sees Jeremy and Tyler fighting in the hallway, and he literally makes them fight each other. Brings them outside after the fight is over and they're no longer heated at each other anyways, and starts like aggressively bullying them into fighting, and Alaric walks out and like says, "Do you know who you're talking to?" The mayor says to Alaric. And Alaric's, "Yeah, like the alpha male douchebag. The adult alpha male douchebag." And it's pretty funny. And we constantly see him hitting Tyler for embarrassing the family or whatever else. He also flirts with women in front of Tyler. And during his funeral, when he finally dies, when Tyler's dad dies, Tyler tells Jeremy, like, nobody actually means the nice things they say about my dad. My dad was a douchebag. He also like cries and breaks down at how much he hates his dad and how awful he was to him. Okay, so the second worst dad is going to be Giuseppe Salvatore. He is alive in the 1800s. He is Damon and Stefan Salvatore's father. In a lot of ways, he is emotionally unavailable for both of his children. And Damon kind of steps up for him, I feel like, in a lot of ways. Regarding Stefan, at least. He makes Damon join the war, which was a very common thing back then, but it was still against Damon's beliefs, and he shouldn't have forced him to do so. He has Catherine vervained by using Stefan after Stefan starts talking about how he cares about the vampires instead of just like hearing him out and having an open mind. And again, this was the 1800s, so maybe that was less heard of. I don't know. I wasn't there. However, we do see flashbacks to Damon and Stefan's childhood where Damon is helping. He goes, Stefan, where'd you get that tie? Like, don't take dad's tie, have mine. He'll hang you here with it or something. So he's afraid for Stefan a lot. He says this when they're playing hide and seek. He's afraid for Stefan because Stefan keeps hiding in the room he's not supposed to. And he doesn't go in there because, one, he's probably scared for himself, even though he didn't admit that. But he was more scared to lead Giuseppe in there and have Stefan get caught. There is another scene where Lily is trying to escape him because he is an abusive, controlling man. And Lily, which is his wife and Damon and Stefan's mom, lets him burn Damon with a cigarette for money that she took. And Damon only admitted to taking the money because he was afraid what was going to happen to Stefan. We see this time and time again. And then Lily did not say anything because she had a plan to get out. But either way, like, that was totally wrong. She had three train tickets to leave the city. Giuseppe finds them and confronts her about this. She says, oh, this is for you and the boys. I was going to surprise you. And he says, don't you dare lie to me, and starts smacking her around. So Stefan goes to say goodbye to his father because he does not plan to turn into a vampire. And he overhears his father talking to the Founders Council about how keep his son's name as heroes and not those who were sympathizers with the vampires. And Stefan says, even in my death, you're ashamed of us still? He goes, of course, I pull the trigger myself. So you find out he kills them and he has no problem saying that he killed them. And that's why I can't put Bill Forbes down because he cares not enough not to kill them. Not to kill Caroline, at least. So he's pretty awful as far as awful dads go. However, he is not as awful as my number one dad. Number one bad dad. Which should be no surprise to anyone that it is Michael Michelson. Michael has 7 kids with Esther Michelson. Well, technically only 6. But they do not find this out until after they become vampires. From oldest to youngest, it is Freya, Finn, Elijah, Klaus, Cole, Rebecca, and Henrique. Finn and Freya were the only 2 siblings who got a softer side to Michael. Freya only saw his soft side because she was taken by Dahlia, although Michael thought that she died from the plague. So Michael thinks that Klaus is his son this entire time. The moment he's born, he is actually really excited because he's like, wow, this boy is a warrior. I can see it in his eyes. However, Esther gives him this like spell. He is awful to all of them. He is awful to Esther. He is awful to all of them. But Klaus gets it the worst because he is perceived as weak due to Esther trying to keep his werewolf side at bay. He also seems to favor his daughters a little more. You see this with Freya, Rebecca, and even Davina a little bit. He calls Klaus an abomination, pathetic, all types of different names and chases him to the ends of the earth to murder him. Michael really valued strength and he viewed Klaus as weak. However, we find out he is the strongest because of his werewolf side. Probably also part of the trauma that Michael put him through. We see time and time again him say, "You are pathetic, boy." And wasn't that great? But, and there's like this one scene where Freya is alive and well, and you see both Klaus and Michael coming together to defend Hope and Freya. And he goes, "You barely even know her, and you've met me your whole life. And you care about her. Why did you never care about me?" And he's just like, "I don't know." And I was like, it was a lot. It's a very emotional scene. He's like, "I just didn't." And then Klaus kills Michael for the second time. It is said that he has also come home drunk a lot and like harmed everybody. There was a lot of violent nights, which is why Klaus's biological father gets Esther this flower that helps him go to sleep, and then it also helps him wake up. But honestly, I think that Michael has a lot to do with how Klaus is. And he actually creates the abomination and manifests it in a lot of ways because of how he treats him and what he says about him and what he says to him. And I'm glad that Klaus is a much better father despite what he's been through.